go through, I mean, the presentation as it is, but I do want to just indicate that with all the presentations that we've made to Parliament over the previous years, this was like our fifth year of existence. And so there are a number of things that beyond that we had to, we actually ended up, you know, changing, you know, starting to focus on the outside now and growing the industry, you know, in that sense. But up to this time, which is relevant for this presentation, these were our founding statement, our vision here, where we say that we are leading, we want to be a leading catalyst for the transformation of a sustainable diamond beneficiation industry. This is our mission, where we want to support also the industry. This is really quite a lot that we need to do that. We are not playing quite a big role that we have that right basis. This is our mission as a state diamond trader. I'm hoping I'm not going too fast. Our strategic goals were to ensure continued sustainability of the state diamond trader. I do not want to reopen the discussion, but it is based on the known issue around state diamond trader that is self-funding. And so it was as part of our strategy that we needed to make sure that we sustain ourselves and continue to make sure that we're sustainable. We also wanted to say that we be an efficient and professionally managed organization. That is still also part of the growing and a new organization that was still setting itself up and needed to face these goals up front so that it's known that we are working hard towards ensuring compliance and just growing and ensuring efficiency and professionalism. To promote and uphold efficient governance, we have the board, we have other structures that talk to governance and so ensuring that we do so. Strive for suitable supply and access to the diamonds, which is the core of our business as a state diamond trader. This next slide, which I'm hoping that honorable members and citizens can see, it contains historic information for the previous 2 years, you know, from March last year. Which really sums up our business as the state diamond trader up to that period. It indicates the value of diamonds that we inspect, bearing in mind that we're the first port of call for producers. Once they declare the closure of the production cycle, they come to the state diamond trader first, where we do the inspections and then do the selection. And the current that we saw, as you can see, in 2012-13, it was more than 7 million carats that were produced in this country. And then the pricing or the value of the diamonds on average, that was $165.48 per carat. These diamonds that we saw, the inspections that we did were you know, from 9 producers. There are a lot of small producers and dealers in this country who are still not yet presenting their goods, and as we go along with them, and you know, and hopefully you can see that in other years some don't come back and then they're coming back again. The number of inspections as well that we conducted was 36 inspections altogether in the year. In terms of the purchases that we made, as you can see, the letter function 7.998.978. That is the red now that we actually purchased from this producer. Those purchases were 4% by value when you look at the production that are presented to us. By volume, they're slightly higher than that. And the page is 48 times. And as you can see, that the sales requirement is 11. As well as the cost of goods sold. Information that is provided.
Thank you. matter if you're fading with the size of your slide or I don't think we're with you now.
Okay. I'm fading because this thing was fading. I do apologize.
Okay, then look at your screen if it's going to help.
Now I've got both now my hard copy and this one. I'm trying to make sure I don't run away. Yes. As I have been saying that before she was on the sales and the cost of goods sold and the gross margins that we achieved of 11.6 million in the year, and which represented just under 3%, and then the current that are represented by those sales that we did, and then we had stock that was left over at the end of the financial year, which is a normal thing, I suppose, for a business that's on a going concern basis of just over 15 million, and average stock of at that time, the number of days, the average age of the stock was 21 days. The slide is giving the committee a comparison and historical information, as I have indicated, to see where we're going, and they demonstrate it. The diamonds that we inspected were from the companies listed here. I do want to say that, Chairperson, Honorable Chairperson, that when you look at our annual report, then that comes back, to all of us, further us change, you know, from each of the mining companies throughout the year. Now, as you can see, we're talking about this because it means that the other companies, you know, whose productions we also inspected, it means that we therefore didn't buy from them for a variety of reasons, including the quality of goods and poor demand for those goods from time to time. And this is therefore the company how much was purchased by the state diamond trader. These purchase levels are not that much different from what we did the previous year. You know, the performance of the diamond market resulted in us only purchasing 4% of the value of the rough diamonds that we inspected. We could have purchased slightly higher, but as you see, there are issues of demand and further down from us that also puts pressure on us and the levels at which we can purchase each time we do these purchases. Some of those reasons being, as I have indicated, the economy, how, you know, it was performing globally, and the constraints that we operate under in terms of purchasing run-of-mine selections, and that puts pressure on us as for the industry further down from us, is ever so often not, you know, in a position, especially the smaller manufacturers are not in a position to buy from us run-of-mine and selections. And so we are still operating under those constraints, and we just make do with what we have at this point in time. As well as the quantity of goods not prepared for beneficiation, because even if we're talking about the larger productions, and there's still some goods that are not prepared by the manufacturers in the country, apart from just the small diamonds, which, you know, end up by and large going to those destinations where they manufacture such small diamonds, like India. The sales and pricing methodologies of producers, and, you know, producers have different ways of selling their diamonds, and that also impacts on us and the ability for us to buy, because sometimes, just to make one example, where producers prefer to sell by way of tenders, and that has a huge impact, negative impact on us, because the tender prices are not, it's not easy to set them and say that you're going to go buy them, because it just depends on who wants those diamonds more, and so the prices can just go up and up without any proper basis, except maybe there's some speculation that's going on out there, or there is some restocking which is taking place, like a month or two. I mean, January and February now it is ending. There has been that issue of restocking, and so you see some improvement in the purchasing and sale of rough diamonds, but sometimes it's not because it's based on good economic foundations. You know, it's just about people wanting to restock because they can, or because they have a demand for what they're buying at that time. So there are some issues that then impact, you know, on us around the methodologies that the producers use when they sell and price their diamonds, as well as the availability of finance, you know, to purchase some of the larger selections. We have taken the committee previously to our confidence and said that, you know, we do have a facility from the Industrial Development Corporation of 50 million rand. So sometimes when we get a production that 100 million rand, we end up not able to purchase the full production, and we have to make sure that we align with what we, with the resources that we have to pay for such production. So that also plays its impact, although in a minimal way, but it plays a role in therefore the amount of diamonds that we can end up buying. As can see here, this one also, Honorable Chairperson, contains historical information regarding the sales from, you know, for the past 3 years, from March last year, and the clients that we sold to and how much we achieved. And you can see that in 2010-11, we were, you know, just about 810. That mark at 810, just under, you know, we were almost a billion rand company in terms of turnover at that time. But that was just also an indication of the market where it was at that stage, just after the recession, the huge recession of 2008-09. And so we did see some improvement, but as I indicated, sometimes that improvement is not really based on solid foundation. It's more about restocking or other factors at that point in time. But then it also indicates that we sold to clients 50, 58, and 48 over the same period. Again, while we do see some, you know, improvement, and we see our new entrants and HDFAs and small businesses and the larger businesses buying and, you know, manufacturing diamonds in the country. But there's quite a lot that affects the results in the end, you know, and we have seen that our industry really responds to some of these negative developments throughout the world. The economic crisis in Europe, it affected the industry quite significantly, as well as what was happening in the U.S. and the slowing in Asian markets with the Chinese buying less, you know, in terms of this product, and as well as issues of liquidity and the, you know, exchange rate issues out in India, which we, you know, I am certain that the committee was also following throughout last year, those issues that are impacting on us as the sector as well. And apart from the falling prices of polished diamonds, which at some point would be almost equal to rough prices, which is an anomaly, you know, that we now and again see. And as well as the volatility in demand for our diamonds, which is, you know, as indicated above as well, that sometimes there is just no demand, and there is no reason that, you know, you there is demand in February, suddenly in April there is just no demand, the market is flat, and so all of that we have to work within such constraints as well. This slide talks about our clients now. When we say LM, we're talking about large and medium sized beneficiaries and manufacturers there, which are larger factories, and they employ more than 10 people. And the monthly clients, you know, which now, you know, we have indicated even previously to the company, to the committee here, that this is our focus group, where we have small clients as well as HDFA, historically disadvantaged South African manufacturers. So some of these clients have got more than 50% HDFA ownership, others are just small companies and new entrants into the industry as well. And then we have the niche, those that we call niche, who are just one person shows out there and they employ less than 10 people, and they are made up of an interesting group of individuals and companies, where some of them are just doing cutting and polishing more as a hobby, and, you know, as a business that is supposed to grow, and others are just in and out of the, you know, of the industry. And so we see how they perform throughout the year. And either at this time it shows that we did not really deal with them. When we talk about other, it sometimes is when we end up selling also to those that are called stakeholders of some of the companies, of in particular the BS, or others that are not our clients, and that we do sell to them when they present themselves and they comply with all the applicable compliance requirements. Last year, we sold 42 clients, versus 58, and again, this is what Robert Chess has been based on, the people coming through, and some of them just disappearing from the manufacturing sphere, and you never get to know why they're not manufacturing or active any longer. But those 42 consistently came through and buying from the State Diamond Trader, and quite a number of them with a small client, but still their purchasing power is quite limited. Therefore, it went down to 6.8 million. And the other companies with 50% greater than 50% HSA ownership, making up 2% of the annual sales volume, and the rest going to the large and medium companies that have been affected. To summarize the following strategic goals, and said that the one strategic goal is ensuring continued sustainability of the State Diamond Trader. We believe that we've managed to show that we are a viable commercial operation, and we have managed to do so during the most volatile period that this industry has seen. You know, when it started in 2007, it was just a matter of months, and the biggest air recession hit the world. But we've managed to pull through despite such volatility. I have indicated the issue around public funding, and that we, you know, we have had to be quite innovative and, you know, to ensure that commercially we are out there, and at the same time meeting the mandate of ensuring that we supply, we make available diamonds to the local manufacturers. And we have managed to achieve the revenue that we have targeted each time. The second goal is to be an efficient and professionally managed organization. We have spent quite a number of years creating our capacity and developing skills. And to that end, we've even been training young people. And we pay quite substantially for this training, where we take them for a 6-month period to a school where they have to learn about diamonds and sorting and valuing diamonds, and thereafter we offer them a further 18 months to 2 years of training on the job as a State Diamond Trader. In addition to that, as of the year under review, we were able to employ 3 of them and give them permanent jobs as a State Diamond Trader, while some are still continuing, you know, with the program of, you know, on-the-job training, and we have lost 4 of them to other industries, ranging from geology to other mining companies. I'm not sure what they're doing in those mining companies, but we have also trained and lost some of those that were coached from us. To promote and uphold efficient governance, we believe that all the training practices that we have and the internal policies and procedures that we have stood us in a good position, and we've done well both in, you know, with internal and external audits, and we do like to state and restate the fact that we have had unqualified audit for all this time. To try for a constant and suitable supply in access to our salmon. We have ensured that we fulfill our mandate and inspected over 90% really of salmon produced in this country. And when we look at the numbers at the end of the year and compare with what the regulator feels, that's where we say that we are confident that we've seen over 90% of what therefore is being produced in South Africa. Of course, we are supposed to buy up to 10% of what they produce in this country, but due to all the factors that I have shared with the committee, Honorable Chairperson, and that has impacted on us in our ability to actually buy up to 10%, and hence therefore, you know, we managed only to buy 4% during that year because of all the challenges that are there in the market, and so we work within those as well. Honorable Chairperson, as you are possibly aware, I am not a finance person, but seeing as I am here and I am aware of what has happened, and I know that this is how much we have made, how much we purchased, and how much we sold, and this is the gross profit we made, and at the end of the day, thereafter the net profit is the net. We were on a profit of 5.1 million for the year, and so this is what we made despite all the challenges that we had. The details, Jefferson, are all in our annual report, as you have already seen. So in spite of all the challenges, we still made a profit, and as I said, that was just under 3% of what we had hoped and we had targeted. And 4%, that we can make up to 4%, and we made just under 3%, which is really 3% of what, in terms of what we had hoped to achieve, and not the full 4% because of all the challenges out in the market and the economic performance of the globe. As I have indicated, Honorable Jefferson, we did well even in our external audit. The Auditor General, as stated here, has confirmed that there were no findings against the diamond trader in relation to our financial performance, to our performance against predetermined objectives, strategic planning and performance management, and where, for instance, the AG did say that you wanted to achieve 4% and you wanted to sell so much to HDSA, the issues of the market performance and the global economic performance, which they are also aware of, they did take that into account, that in spite of all that, we're still able to, to make that 3% that I spoke about as well. And that we did comply with the laws and regulations that we're supposed to comply with, and then our internal controls are in place, and they didn't find anything against the state diamond trader on things. Just also in January this year, the AG communicated its pleasure with our performance over the past 5 years, that due to that performance, and so they wrote to the state administrators indicate that they are acknowledging our efforts and rewarding that, and so we're still going to get this trophy. The function is still to come for us to get this trophy from the AG, and we really are proud of this performance on the administration despite all the challenges that we're facing. Thank you.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you, and welcome to our colleague, Manfred Melkert. Any issues of engagement?
Of the camera of mine production. What would be a challenge and I didn't have a clear-cut strategy to show that given the current economic environment that obtained the decline on this year's hedging, how to position yourself in the global competing environment.
Another point?
Thank you, Chairperson. I just want to find out ahead from your presentation that you have lost some of the people that you have trained to other departments. What have you tried to find out as an entity? What is the problem and how are you going to solve that in the future? Thanks.
Thank you. In addition to that, your trade is supposed to be a bright trade, but for some reason or the other, you remain gloomy every time you come to us. Would the Kimberley process not have made a difference in your performance? I thought that it was a space where at least there'd be some type of improvement in terms of trade internationally. And if so, of what significance would it be for us to know about it in an effort to see if there's anything that can perhaps improve our state of affairs. The other thing, I thought we would at least have a picture of or would indicate to us your areas of trade within the country so that we can get a sense of whether are we having a trade that could improve in terms of the skills you've shown us, or we could have a trade that's perhaps not going to improve, depending on the availability of diamond mines that we have in the country. Then your slide on page 13, the time segment slide. I was having a problem with your blue there. Other large and medium-sized beneficiaries, how do you differentiate them from the niches? Or are they also included in the niches? And these niches, you said that they mainly trade for, they don't trade, they mainly use their goods for, as a hobby. Are you not perhaps hinting to me that it's possible that they could also be then smuggling some of their profits out of the country? Can you take care of those fish?
Thank you, Chairperson. I'm going to start at the beginning, and Honourable Honourable Mohai, thank you. I do apologize, I didn't quite get to me. When we talk about goods that are not preferred for local beneficiation, we're talking about goods that are smaller than 3 grainers in the rough, right up to plus one, which is really small. The local industry, you know, by and large prefers from 5 grainers right up to 10.8 carat, and but then there's more of those that are specializing, that take the larger stones, and those 10 more plus 10 carat stones and the fancy colors. Now, that's what they prefer. Even within that category of plus 4 or plus 5 grainers, you still have bottom-end goods which are not gem quality or not even near gem quality, which they still don't want to work with, to manufacture locally. the reasons for that being, you know, the skin is there. They can process a whole lot of diamonds, and they, most of them do achieve the triple X status when they go to labs with their polished diamonds. But it's also about marketing. Maybe they do not have the right market where they can sell diamonds of certain sizes and qualities. But when it gets to the smaller ones, the less than 3 grainers, it's sort of accepted, which it depends on whether we really do accept it, that India has got the capability to cut and polish those small stones. And they do. Some of those sizes are size of sugar pebbles, or tiny pebbles that they cut and polish. And as you can see, what then ends up happening is that, for instance, most of South Africa, the South Africa that wears jewelry, wears imported jewels, what is cut and polished outside South Africa, and not what we cut and polish. But what is mined here, and it ends up being cut and polished outside, because as the Indians over decades have managed to perfect the skill of cutting and polishing the really small diamonds. And so the preferred area, as we have analyzed over time, ends up being quite small. And all of them, those that are manufacturing locally, preparing the same type of goods, and so that the piece of the pie that gets shared among them becoming smaller and smaller. But in terms of size, it really is about 5 grainers and up. In terms, the second question is about the decline in purchasing that we see, and so what strategy are we coming up with? Honorable, When I started, I indicated that at the end of the 5 years, and we then started looking outward, and said that we need to do something more to promote the industry. And hence, then we came up, when we come back to this honorable committee, we will show you when we present on our strategic plan, that we are now talking about a marketing strategy. We're talking about the promotion now of the industry, both locally and internationally. And that, we believe, will help us as we assist businesses to open up markets even outside of South Africa, that we will then grow from the fact that they have more markets that they will be opening. There is a lot that we're doing locally and internationally around that. As we speak, honorable member, next week, which is the 3rd of March, the 3rd to the 9th, the State Diamond Trader, together with the DGI, it is our project, but it's funded and we're implementing together with the DGI because they do national pavilions. We are implementing South Africa's first national pavilion in one of the biggest shows, German jewelry shows on earth, which is the Hong Kong show. And then we are taking about 20 cutters and polishers as well as jewelry makers to this show. It's a national pavilion. We're going there to promote the country as a beneficiation destination, but also to provide a network and marketing opportunity for these businesses out there where there are all of the countries and people that are in the sector and as well as jewelry making. So these are some of the things that we're doing now to look at increasing the momentum of our growth as well as the growth of the industry. The other question that came from Honorable Boy. Okay, I said that correctly, Honorable Member. It's about job creation. Internally, I did indicate, the presentation did indicate that we have been providing training opportunities for young people, and some of them we are absorbing because we provided some intensive course, and then we take them and provide them a place to actually give them on the job training and further skills for up to 2 years, and sometimes we've given that to up to 3 years. But those are small numbers, as I indicated, and that is 100% supported by the state diamond trader. The way that we then create jobs is not directly, but it's through these manufacturers who buy from us, where then we look at how big the company is and how many jobs can they grow and can they have, and is it a growing company, can it add another job or two jobs, and so we monitor these companies to see whether there is some growth that is taking place. But that growth in terms of jobs created by the industry is not a lot. And they have not been that much growing for a variety of reasons. Access to funding, access to market, as well as supply of rough diamonds. You know, because besides the state diamond trader, where we provide a platform that says, this person is yours for 36 hours, so you make up your mind. We're not going to sell it to anybody until you come back to us within the 36 hours to say yes or no. Outside, as a tender, they just put their bids, and only the successful bidder gets the goods, and sometimes people from outside the country, ever so often, that get the goods, and so there is an issue also of competing for our diamonds. So the jobs are not growing as much. What we have said, therefore, in our strategy, our marketing and promotion strategy, is that we need to grow small enterprises. So there is huge potential in our sector for small enterprises to grow and sustain themselves. One person showed here, two people showed here. That can happen. But coupled with all of these, you know, exhibitions and marketing strategies that we put in place to promote them and to ensure that we expose them to more profitable markets than just selling in the time. So we're trying those. Those are the prospects that we see in terms of us addressing the challenges that we face, as well as the industry is facing in this country. There is also a question from Honourable Member. The Honourable Member.
Honourable Kulong. No. PH.
Honourable Kulong. I don't know.
She prefers Kulong rather than Kulu.
It's about those that we've trained and we lost them to others, to the industry, especially the mining industry. I think it's a good thing, on the one hand, that we do lose some people to, you know, to jobs and not to lose them to unemployment. But at the same time, the investment that we've made, we lose out on it. But I just think that they just go out there for better prospects. Prospects that we can't even meet, even if we wanted to retain them and say we'll pay you a bit more. They just get taken, and they get salaries that are just dizzying, and we just cannot afford them. And so we let them go, either with a slow hand sometimes, but, you know, we just give them a good send-off. But, of course, we are finalizing. We have come up with our own retention strategy, but sometimes, even as we look at it, it's not easy to address some of these areas where people go for the money part of it, because then we cannot sustain a situation where we use the retention strategy to retain people, because then we may end up with people just wanting to go somewhere because we will make them then give them more money. But we do get proud of the fact that we are able to train for others, although it is expensive. Let's just keep on training people and take some that we can retain for ourselves, and others that will definitely and help those that want to become entrepreneurs and see whether they can succeed, and so some of them would have the potential to succeed as entrepreneurs themselves. A question from the Honorable Chairperson. I'm about Honorable Chairperson. I'm right. I am feeling bright about them, Chairperson. Maybe I did not give you a bright face, but I am feeling quite happy that we're growing, and despite all the challenges and the constraints that that we still here and commercially making sense. But when I look at the question as you have posed it around the KP, we do our trading more locally. We sell locally. We don't export. So the impact of the Kimberley process, while it has been that, you know, diamond trade has become cleaner and more, you know, amenable to all the and more in line with what is expected, you know, best practices in every other sector. And that's a good thing. But for the trader, it has a minimal impact in that we buy and sell to local manufacturers, and then we want to see them grow. But where we would then get into exporting, then the issue of the Kimberley process would come in even more to the state diamond trader. But I think that just generally, the trade in diamonds has improved. I mean, the Kimberley process has done good for the trade of diamonds globally, and we are proud of all that as well. The part of the question, Honorable Chair, was how the committee know, you know. And I think that Chairperson, Honorable Chairperson, one of the ways that you would know how this is impacting on us is by you visiting the State Diamond Trade, Chairperson. The committee visiting the State Diamond Trade, so we can take you through and show you how this, how we're doing this and what challenges we're facing. I think that every chance that we're doing your proud as well, what we're doing there. Areas of trade within South Africa. We have clients, Chairperson, from a variety of, from, you know, maybe not all the provinces in the country, but we do trade with, you know, companies that are in the Northwest, in the Northern Cape, mostly in Johannesburg, in something. And it's not for level trying on our part. For instance, last year, 2013, for a whole month, we had an advert running in the public, in the national newspapers, inviting people and companies and people to become our clients. In doing that, we're hoping to get more from other provinces as well, but we only got from Northwest and Northern Cape, Chairperson. The segmentation, I do not think Chairperson, well, the niche ones, it's just some of them that are doing, that are touching and polishing. It's not like, when I say it more as a hobby, it's in relation to them, not, the business is not growing. Not like they want to grow this business from this level in 5 years to that level. It's like they just want to stay right where they are. They are content being businesses that are either medium enterprises, which by and large they are, and there's nothing that says they need to grow and therefore buy more from the state diamond trade and therefore contribute more to the economy. They just want to be there. And it's seen over time that the amount they buy from us is not really growing. It's just, you know, like really small spikes here and again. And that is why we call them niche. They are one-person shows mostly. Sometimes they are a small company, but mostly it's just businesses that are medium and just staying there as medium. But in terms of whether they do illegal things, from what we do with them, there has not been any evidence of that at all. Thank you.
Your young people that you trained, do any of them end up in jewelry making in particular? Because you did mention that some of them you lose them and some go elsewhere to private companies. And do you have any relationships that just like with our own entities like Intel to encourage some of them to rather go into jewelry making?
Chairperson, we certainly have relationships with the lines of MinTech, even the province in Gauteng, the department that has got quite a huge, the economic department, a huge area of jewelry making. We have a relationship with them. And through the Minister's National Jewelry Forum, which was in October last year, we worked quite a lot together with various stakeholders. In trying to then promote the fabrication of jewelry in the country and just indicating to South Africans that here's another opportunity, career opportunity for young people. So we do work quite well with them. But those that have left us, none of them, Honorable Chairperson, have gone to jewelry making as such. It is an area that is out there and is available to them, but at the same time, even the one of cutting and polishing, because of now the knowledge that they have gained in diamonds, it is available to them. But as I said earlier, that some of them went into geology because they were originally geologists, and some of them went into the mines. I'm not sure what they're doing within the mines, but it's because of some of the training that, their original degrees or diplomas were in careers that are aligned to mining. But it is an area that we will definitely be looking into, Jefferson, that, here's something else that you can do, jewelry making, or you can set up your own enterprise in cutting and polishing, because we're looking for people with skills as well as knowledge to do that.
Yes, Chair. Thank you. Thank you very much. I was just listening to members' questions as well as your guidance, Chair, around some of the areas. It is quite important, especially when we listen to the question Honourable Member Mahai raised around jobs, that if you're looking at large-scale job creation, you need large-scale manufacturing processes. And if you then flip your mind back to the numbers that were shown here this morning around the capability of the state diamond trader to purchase, given what's available to each in terms of the rules, 10% run of mine, aspiration from an annual 2018 target of only 4% of that, the constraint within that run of mine, it's very unlikely that the impact you will make will be anything but minimum. And so I think what you have seen over the past few years is really an attempt to find a basis for significant change in the industry of beneficiation. And I believe, Honorable Chair, that with the state diamond trader currently structured, those significant results are not going to be fulfilled. What the Chief Executive has spoken about is a very innovative and passionate approach towards seeing something begin to happen and materialize. But it can only be organic in terms of improvement and growth. So unless significant capital is put into the market and not necessarily to the state diamond trader, remembering of course that the state diamond trader does not do the actual manufacturing, that could be a strategic discussion this country needs to have, that you establish a massive manufacturing and processing area, then you can be all-encompassing in terms of capturing even the skills that are being lost out there. The problem that you have is that even those customers that you do capture, and they do try to stay in business, as the chief executive pointed out, a lot of them don't, and they end up folding and actually selling to the bigger entities, which is a great pity, because in terms of what the government wants to achieve around this, is to actually transform the industry, diversify the industry. You cannot get diversification if those small enterprises that are trying to make it don't have access, you know, to the kind of material, rough diamonds that they want, and especially because of economic reality, cannot get access to funds. Because the state diamond trader itself doesn't have any funding other than commercial type funding. Now, if you take a small operator and expose them to banks in terms of funding, it becomes a huge challenge for them to survive. So the impact is minimal. The state diamond trader, with the small resources that it has, is trying. But I think from the government's intent point of view, we need significant change, Honorable Chair, to really start seeing these things happen. We will continue looking at improvements in this area, but really they cannot be as large as I seem to have understood the question. With regards to the government, there is a huge amount of support from the Department of Mineral Resources, particularly the minister herself. And I think if you listen to one of the responses that the chief executive has given around the Jewelry Summit that the minister convened last year, it really is in support of trying to ensure that this industry grows in South Africa. The legacy, you know, and the history around this industry, in any event, limits, you know, the growth, the significant growth that is potential. However, the opportunities are great. And my own personal view is a much bigger strategy to ensure sustainability. I don't think this country is short of talent. I don't think this country is short of, you know, an urge to break new ground, because beneficiation of diamonds to previously disadvantaged South Africans is largely new ground. I don't think you have a shortage, you know, of a move toward break. I do think, though, that there are structural problems that we need to talk about and resolve as a country to enable, you know, small enterprises not only to start putting their foot in, but to actually grow and then create the jobs that we talk about as a country.
Thank you.
have, you've been having now for some time a relationship with your Alex Kors, your De Beers, your Petra Diamonds, which I think are the main people that you purchase.
Supplier.
Your main supplier. But they are also producers, isn't it? And in the light of them being the producers, what relationship have you tried to maintain in ensuring that you at least raise awareness or you become aware of what the possibilities are of improving that trade? If you look at the lifespan, for example, of the beers and the amount of possible diamonds they could have even outside the country, something is giving a sense that you are saying you are just moving. The graph is a straight line. There's nothing going up or even going down for that matter. And like I asked earlier on, an indication of what you still have in the country in terms of diamond money.
Honourable Chair, to start with your last one, I'm not exactly sure. In fact, there is a slide here that shows those producers. I'm not quite sure that we are going, from a maybe greenfield, point of view as a country. And I guess in terms of the producers, what their strategies are, that's something that can be engaged on. But if you look at some of them, they continue to take some of already open operations as opposed to greenfields, that we can look at into the future. So I think, it's something that can be engaged upon in terms of what the investment, strategies are around, producing more diamonds as a country. And with regards to the 20,
just to add, Chairperson, on the issue that you're raising about our relationship with the producing companies. Firstly, when we started, the relationships were really not there. There was quite a lot of mistrust as to what we were there to do as a state, getting into the sector. But over time, the relationships have improved significantly. The trust issues are no longer, the mistrust is no longer there. It's just now issues of commercial trading. Are you able to buy? Here's the price, and we use the legislation. No, this price is not right by the GDP, and then the employment of independent valuators. But just that sort of commercial type of disagreement, mostly. But having said that, at this point in time, we have growing relationships with these companies where, from time to time, just like some of them, because they do not want really that it be known, some of them do allow us to even, buy only what we want, what our clients want, which is a huge, improvement from where we were. And that helps us then say that we can only buy that if we can afford it as well, but we can buy this because this is where the local manufacturers, what the local manufacturers want. And so those relationships we actually value and we work along that, but of course at the end of the day, they need to comply, we need to agree commercially, and we need to comply as well. So even within those types of small agreements here and there, pilot projects here and there, we do that. Even with, others have said, let's try for 6 months, for a year, to see what happens if we only give you this type of, this sizes, because you say that your industry, your clients want this. And we go along with that and say, let us do it, etc. But in addition to that, and as I said, there are some developments that we have implemented post this annual report with some of them, where even in our marketing strategy, some of them want to get involved. Some of them have said, let us work together in developing small and medium enterprises, and we've agreed. We are in the processes of now getting to our boards to accept these types of arrangements that we can work together, because it's our project, they
they also have a similar project, and we sit down and we say, why are we all trying to implement the same thing on the ground? Let us pull our efforts together and then implement a bigger project. Even in Alexco, there are some things that we're working on in terms of manufacturing, and you know, our board here, you know, led by the chair here, asked us to work with Alexco on some of these, on you know, some sort of beneficiating or improving our relationship, seeing as Alexco is a state and, you know, partly the state interest there as well. So we are looking at all of these now, improving everything, but with a view, while we want this relationship between us and them, it's with a view to developing these SMEs and ensuring that they have support as they start. So there is quite a lot that we are implementing that it is post this annual support chairperson.
And just to finalize on the issue that Mr. Boy is raising on the 20 years of democracy, I think the State Diamond Trader provides a platform and a foundation to grow and to better. So we cannot say we have not achieved anything. The presentation you've seen was to show you 2 to 3 years of performance. There is a foundation further than that, where it started, where it had to grow literally from zero to where it is. That should give us hope as South Africans that as we grow, we are also able to identify where those gaps are, and we are able to come up with strategies, organic as they may seem at the moment, slow as they may seem, impacted by markets, especially international market and local economic conditions. We nevertheless do have a start. We have accepted as producers that we have to beneficiate in South Africa. We are not only supplying, because the legislation says we need to supply, but as producers we are working in tandem with the State Diamond Trader to ensure that we succeed. Yes, it may not be as fast as all of us may want to see. However, I think the foundation is strong, it's getting stronger. We are going to have to address those structural issues to ensure that the trajectory is sharper than it currently is now. Which also then talks to what the chairman has raised, that you know, it looks as though the class is not growing, it's not improving. One of the issues around the structural challenges is the sustainability of the State Diamond Trader. Because if we have to compete for funding with commercial entities, being a state-owned entity at commercial rates, obviously it's going to hamper, you know, some of the growth. And you can only get so much in the context of what you are able to buy and what you are able to sell. Our repayment is impeccable. And in my view, Honorable Boy, if you look at governance issues as far as the State Diamond Trader is concerned, I'm not saying we're there and everything is 100%. But if the Auditor General's view is anything to go by, I feel that the State Diamond Trader over the period it has been in existence has reached that stability. Putting that aside, what then are the gaps and how we are addressing the gaps? That is one of the key issues that I'm relating to this morning around the structural issues, around the industry, around the local economy, and the impact the international economy has.
My understanding was that
I will just make it another comment, and the chief executive wants to add something. I do hope, Honorable Boy, that what you have seen today provides comfort that we have a solid foundation, because I do believe in what the State Diamond Trader has done so far. What we need to be doing in the future is couched in what the chief executive has expressed, which we are working on right now. I would be very sad if we leave this room and believe that there's no positive story to tell. Because however young the State Diamond Trader is, as it is within the 20 years of democracy as we have it now, it has provided an opportunity for us to understand the scale of the problem. So, and I believe in having to start at the basics of what the challenges are. And I think we have in us an ability to identify those challenges and start addressing them within the context of the resources that we have and the support, you know, that we will continue to seek and work with, not only from the stakeholders that the chief executive has mentioned, but from government as well. We are not going to give up on that. And so I do believe it is a good story. Because if we didn't have the State Diamond Trader, we would not, in this coming week, be taking people into the global arena to have their skills and their wealth shown. So in my view then, it's the pace at which we can move into the next level with all the other issues that have been resolved. The pace that will be commanded by the kinds of strategies that we would come here to seek support on and move forward. And they may well include legislation or other, you know, strategic initiatives. But I do believe that is a good story to tell. Thank you.
I think that I just wanted to talk to the question from Honorable Mdala. I think that the question from Honorable Boyd has been addressed. Indeed, it is part of our mandate, Honorable, to ensure transformation and empowerment. And I believe that, you know, whenever we, you know, come and report and talk about HDSAs and new entrants, how they're performing, it is because the board, right from the beginning, just took a decision that we need to focus on the HDSAs. We need to focus on the new entrants because they need our support. They need us to be there for them. And to that end, we have done as much as we could so far. But there is more now with a new strategy and an outward looking on, you know, looking at this marketing and promotion strategy. They are at the center of this promotion and marketing strategy. And I can assure you that in the coming few years, you will see that growth. We needed this 5 years to grow as an organization, as a small organization. We needed some of that time. But now we are at this point where we say, we can see some of them and we want to continue introducing diamond skills and diamond careers to South Africa and to our youth because they can see this as a potential and also as small enterprises as well. So thank you for that. Thank you.
Okay, if we conclude, I think in the main there has been, just to support what my colleague has been saying, there has been a state grasp in terms of the performance of the trader. And I think when you do come back, the strategic plan that you'll be bringing will have to be very robust this time. Because as much as we have these aspirations, we have these indications that we're giving and trying to improve, there isn't a sense of that robust action that we're taking in making the change, the turnaround that is needed in the industry. Yours is more of let's trade and get the deal done, and that's the end of the story. It must become more visible as to how does it go beyond in ensuring that the trade does change for the better in terms of the economy. But I think that also to support that there isn't really anything significant that has been visible from your side to say these are the transformational visible changes that we are making. But anyway, at any rate, congratulations on your award. And we hope you enjoy the award and the updates you needed from our side. Thank you very much for the presentation. Bye. Can we then get ready to get the presentation? Why we take a 5 minute break?
Thank you.